Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is number six, sexualization of the world. And there can't be anything more anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-human being, or anything any more satanic and deceitful and lying and destructive of the mind, of the heart, of the purpose of life, than to have all of these perversions forced upon us beginning in the schools.
In San Francisco, LGBT history is all around, but state school officials today adopting new guidelines, making the history part of classroom lessons in all California schools. At Our Family Coalition, a group representing LGBT families, Jennifer Grant says she's excited. Her 15-year-old twins will learn about the movement for gay marriage.
They were at my wedding to my wife, but they have no understanding of who fought for that and how we got to that point.
Now California public school curriculum will include lessons in second grade about diverse families. In fourth grade, students will learn about California's place in the gay rights movement. In fifth grade, eighth grade, and high school, students will learn about gender roles in the 18th and 19th centuries, the latest victory in the gay rights movement, now in the classroom. In San Francisco, I'm Jessica Flores, KPIX 5.
And how did that all of a sudden take place? Here in America, it seemed like right after the election to 2020, boom, all of this was opened up like a dam busting. And it flooded everything. And they have forgotten everything about the purpose of God. Many people, though, are trying to fight against it. Many people are trying to get it outlawed into school. Now, we saw last time that there are a lot of African nations as well as Russia and other nations that are rejecting all of this homosexuality and A to Z perversion. So let's come right back to the beginning. Let's come right back to what God did in making man and woman and what God said and what God wants, which then is God's law. And if you want the blessing of God, you've got to keep his commandments. You can't stick your finger in God's eye and say to the law is a curse when he said, I gave it to you to bless you so that it would be well with you and your children. Now, is that what you want? Well, if you want that, then you have to come God's way. So let's come right back to the beginning where God made man and woman. Verse 26, Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man, and that means mankind, in our image and after our likeness. That's what we look like. Now think about that. That's a tremendous blessing indeed. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. So look at the generosity of God. He's given the whole world to human beings. Wonderful thing. Think about it. Now notice what the next verse says. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. He created them male and female. There's no other gender. And the gender that you have through the genes and chromosomes that come from your father and your mother, and you might take a minute to contemplate that, that is your gender that God has given you for a blessing. But you must live God's way. And they know now that all gender changing is 100% failure. And how many have had the operations to find out that their lives are ruined? And it all starts with breaking the commandments of God. and we'll read some of the perversions a little later. Now notice verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now that means bringing children into the world, having sex between husband and wife in a loving relationship the way that God intended. And then he says, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God, he created Adam with his own hands, chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And then, after putting him in the Garden of Eden, giving him everything to sustain his life and also to have work to do, to dress and keep the garden, then he had the various species come by for Adam to name them, which tells us what? God put a language directly in the mind and brain of Adam and later Eve. So because everything came by, it was male and female, male and female, male and female, and you find this even in plants and trees and things like this as well. God didn't make any in-between gender.
This story's gone viral. Vinny, 23 years of age, has already spent tens of thousands of dollars, hopes to transform into a genderless alien. And rather than try to explain this, we actually have Vinny joining us in our audience. And Vinny, I'm going to openly acknowledge when I read your story, there's some confusion. And your motivation, why you're doing this.
Well, starting my journey to become kind of this genderless, sexless alien was brought about because in my communities, in the queer and gay community and the trans community, I found myself not really connecting to either, more into a gender non-binary.
So you want to be sexless?
Yeah, I've looked into removing my genitals completely with different doctors, like a sexual unassignment.
Verse 22. Notice, after making Eve from one of his ribs, then God brought him to Adam, which shows what? God explained to him the whole purpose of life, the whole purpose of sex, and what it would reproduce. Now, Adam understood this. Listen to the understanding of Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24. Now here's what Adam said. Now this shows he had a good understanding of what God told him. For this reason, meaning he understood the whole purpose of male and female, husband and wife, and children that will be coming. Right? And he says, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother. Oh, now think about that, all right? This shows that God married Adam and Eve. This shows they understood about father and mother and childbearing and what was going to happen when they had sexual relations. God designed and invented sex for a proper and right purpose, for love and binding of husband and wife together, as well as children. But all of the perversions today has thrown that out of the window and saying, oh, we don't need it. Any kind of sex that you want, you can have. Well, that's all against God. And that's all against his laws. And when you go against his laws, you're going to find yourself in a great deal of trouble because the penalty of sin will come upon you automatically. Notice he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were naked and they weren't ashamed. But they sinned. And what was the sin? They listened to Satan, the serpent, instead of believing God. And Satan came and said, look, you can decide for yourself what is right and wrong. You don't need to have God tell you what is right and wrong. Now, think about those statements, because that's what Satan was telling them. And so they ate of the fruit and they decided that they would go Satan's way. Look at the world. Look at what has happened to it. Look at what is happening now. All of this is because they're Satan, the devil, and they're rejecting God. Now then, there are some people who can understand what we have just covered here. An article by Kirk Dirksen, summarizing a book written by J.D. Unwin, the question was brought up with this, and the answer. Now listen to what Unwin's book is all about, and this will also help you understand what is happening. Because all of these laws against sexual perversions come automatically when people leave God and they decide for themselves what is right and wrong, as Adam and Eve did. See, that's why God has given his word. That's why God has given free choice. So we can choose, are we going to go God's way or are we going to go the way of the flesh, and which then is the way of Satan the devil? And stop and think for a minute after how many thousands and thousands of years that we have had with human life, have any of them ever succeeded? No. Not one. Why? Because they all became sexually perverse. So let's read some of Unwin's findings. After hearing a philosophy class, it occurred to me that some moral laws might limit pleasure. Now, the Bible calls that pleasure the pleasure of sin. Might limit pleasure and enjoyment in the short term, but in the long term, minimize suffering and maximize human fulfillment. So that was the premise of it. Now, what is astounding is that Unwin was not a religious man. So he said here, when he went to investigate it, I was repeatedly reminded of the thought I had as a philosophy student, some moral laws may be designed to minimize human suffering and maximize human flourishing long term. So what did he find? The degree of sexual restraint determines the fate of nations. Let's read it. Degrees of sexual restraint are divided into two major categories, prenuptial and postnuptial. Prenuptial category, there are four. Number one, complete sexual freedom. No prenuptial restraint at all. And that's what they're trying to bring upon us right now. And that's what is leading to our destruction and decline as a nation. Number two, irregular or occasional restraint. Cultural regulations require an occasional period of abstinence. That's number two. Number three is God's way, strict chastity, meaning remain virgin until marriage. Same way with a man, remain chaste. Now, let's come to the New Testament and let's look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. Let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This will tell us the biblical view in the New Testament is exactly the same as what we read at creation. Now, first of all, he gives a warning because in the church at Corinth, they were having sexual problems. Even one man was sleeping with his stepmother. And they were thinking, well, that was a good thing because the Greeks were just completely libertine in all of their sexual thoughts before they came into the church. So here's what Paul says. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteous are those who live in sin, those who do not love God, those who do not keep his commandments. Now notice what he says. Do not be deceived. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve? Isn't that what has happened to all of those who leave the laws of God? They deceive themselves with their own thoughts. They don't want to admit that they're wrong, yet they never understand why all of these difficulties are coming upon them. So he continues, neither fornicators, now that is having sex at any time before marriage, adultery is after marriage, and fornication, fornicators, those are homosexuals, those are transgenders, those are the ones who have sex with animals.
I always put a drop of Orangina in my washing. It gives my laundry this shiny yellow color and a fresh orange fragrance. Special formula Orangina lifts the dirt and enhances the shine in just
3 days. Using Orangina gives me a clear skin confidence. Making
breakfast, I always give them Orangina. It's packed with goodness and keeps them strong and comfortable all day long. Orangina, naturally.
An active bear doesn't always have the time to take a shower. My secret.
Strength and shine.
A few drops of Orangina.
After shaving, I always use Orangina. It soothes my skin.
Just love that fruity, fresh Orangina feeling in my mouth.
It's like I've never felt before.
Orangina. Naturally.
Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers of themselves as women. Now, that's a special word in the Greek, meaning a man, then, who takes the role in a homosexual relationship as being the woman. So you see, Paul denounces all of that. Nor homosexuals. There it is. Now then he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Let's come to verse 15. Verse 15 tells us the same thing as Genesis 1. So listen carefully to what he says here. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Now what were we told? Didn't God say that we're made in the likeness and the image of God? Yes. Well, was not Christ God manifested in the flesh? Yes. Is he not our Savior and Lord and Master? Yes. So he says, shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Now that's porneia. That means any kind of sexual immorality. And they had all of it back there in Greece during the days of the Apostle Paul.
In Corinth, famous for the huge number of priestesses of love, worshipped the goddess of beauty Aphrodite and built the main temple of the goddess in which services were held in her honor. The city of Corinth was the center of her cult and was also well known throughout the ancient world for its many hetairs, who had a reputation not only as the most experienced, but also as the most expensive prostitutes in the Greek world. Records of numerous dedications to Aphrodite by successful courtesans are preserved in poems and on ceramic inscriptions. Quite often references to Aphrodite in connection with prostitution are found not only in Corinth, but also in Cyprus and Sicily.
So Paul says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. He says, what? Don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? Now, the same thing with perversion with homosexuality, only it is far removed. You cannot have any proper sexual relations in a homosexual or transgender or animal relationship. Period. That is sin. And the magnitude of the sins, as we will see, that are in America today are causing the downfall of America. It's not economic. It is sexual perversion on a mass scale. Now notice, don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For he says, two shall be one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So what do we do when there are sexual lust and pulls of the flesh and Satan the devil, like we started out in the last segment, is the prince of the power of the air and sending all of these communications to us into our minds through television, through movies, through other people to pervert and start at the youngest age possible. So what does Paul write? Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. That means any kind of sex outside of marriage between a husband and a wife. Every sin that a man may commit is outside his body, but the one who commits sexual immorality is sinning against his own body. And isn't that exactly true what happens? Yes, it is. Look at the sickness, look at the disease, look at the mental illness, look at the traumas, look at the suicide, look at all of those things which come from aberrant immoral sex.
Well, turning now to an important medical headline, health officials just announced the concerning rise of STIs across the country, and experts say the rates show no sign of slowing down.
In the past couple of days to months, we've seen increases specifically related before and after the pandemic. Recently, the CDC released reports that rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis have accelerated in terms of the amounts of positive tests that we're finding. And it's been the highest that we've seen in over 20 years. And so that's really concerning, and just a movement to get more people to get tested and to become aware of these infections that we need to control.
You mentioned the rising rate after the pandemic, people back out there again interacting with people. What's driving up these rates?
You know, I think it's a couple of things. It's multifactorial, probably. First and foremost, inadequate education. Many don't realize that most often these infections come with no symptoms at all. Also, obviously, decreased use of protection.
Then he says, for those who are Christian, what? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have within you from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And you glorify God by keeping his commandments. Now notice what he says here. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things that you wrote to me, saying, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, I say this. Well, that's going to the extreme. Obviously, if that woman is not your wife, you should have no business touching her, right? Or if the child is not your child, you have no business trying to pervert them with your sexual perversion. Now, here's what Paul said. This goes right back to Genesis, the first chapter. Rather, to avoid sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render his conjugal dues to his wife, and the same way also the wife to her husband. That's what Paul wrote. Now, let's see the effects of sexual constraint. No sex until you're married. Husband and wife. So here's what J.D. Unwin found. Number one, effects of sexual constraints increase sexual constraints, either prenuptial or postnuptial, always led to an increasing flourishing of a culture. Conversely, increased sexual freedom always led to the collapse of a culture three generations later. And where are we on that scale right now? We're halfway through the third generation, beginning in 1969. Is the nation going down? Is the nation becoming filled with sin? Since we're getting close to the end of this segment, we'll go ahead and end it right here. And I'm going to have posted on right online. You can download this report and you can go through it. And this will help you understand why things in America are falling apart and no one can fix them. Now, there are a lot of people going against the gender things with children and trying to clean up the schools, but that is only a start. And what it is doing, unless you're coming to God, God's way, and to live by His commandments, they're going to come after all of those who believe that they shouldn't have all of this wild sex. They're going to come in hateful, just combativeness, to force it down our throats. So that's what's going to come. Sorry to be a bearer of bad news, but that's bad news that comes with the conduct of those who reject God. And many people think that they're all right with God, but they're not. So you need our book. Lord, what should I do? You need to find out what you need to do with your life so you can get right with God. And you need the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? And you also need the book, Occult Holidays or God Holy Days, and those three books will send to you without any cost. But you need to read them. You need to study them. You need to understand them. And that will give you a great insight to what the Bible is all about and what we need to do and how you need to live and what God requires. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.